From Charlotte, North Carolina, you're listening to the best of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. The reason the Bible Answer Man is on the air is to defend the Christian faith, proclaim the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and to teach discipleship to his followers, because life and truth matter. For more information or to order equipping resources, call 888-7000-CRI, which translates to 888-7000-274, or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
And thank you very much. As always, a pleasure to be in the studio as we answer your questions throughout the United States and Canada. Do remember our contact information on the web, equip.org, via the mailbox, 8500 Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, and our resource consultant standing by, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. As walking into the studio, I was handed this announcement that I thought was interesting. The moderator of the General Assembly of the Free Church of Scotland has told an American prosperity gospel preacher that he's not welcome in Scotland. He went on to say his prosperity gospel is blasphemous. It's not what the people of Scotland need to hear. He's not welcome, not with that message. It's a horrendous message that he brings, and it's not the message of the gospel at all. Of course, Creflo Dollar is a proponent of the prosperity gospel, which promises health, wealth, and prosperity instead of the Bible's teachings that those who trust in Christ as Savior and Lord are promised salvation from sin. Well, I've written about Creflo Dollar in a book called Christianity in Christ's 21st Century, and he is a heretical teacher. He's the pastor of World Changers Church International in Atlanta. He was awarded an honorary Doctor of Divinity from Oral Roberts University, but he is someone who continuously teaches significant error. He's gone so far as to say because Jesus Christ got tired, he could not have been God. If he, Jesus, came as God and he got tired, says Creflo Dollar, we're in a lot of trouble. He goes on to say, if Jesus came as God, then why did God have to anoint him? So he's making clear over and over again that Jesus Christ did not come as Theanthropus, the God-man. And to suggest, as Dollar does, that those who teach that Jesus did come as God are, in his words, fantasy preachers, is to say that a whole host of credible pastors from Charles Spurgeon to Charles Stanley have missed the answer to Christ's most basic question, namely, who do you say that I am? And it keeps getting worse. I mean, the more you look into guys like Creflo Dollar, the worse it gets. For example, he predicted the time of Christ's return. You know what he said? He left himself a lot of wiggle room. 2 years of wiggle room. He said it was going to be between 2003 and 2005. He said Jesus then will break through the sky, and those of us who remain shall be changed and caught up to meet him in the air. To those who would say, Brother Dollar, you got really bold, you calling dates, he responds, you wait till you hear what I got to teach you next. Jesus said, I'm coming back for a church without spot or wrinkle, and I'm telling you, debt is a wrinkle. So his point is, Jesus Christ is going to come back for a debt-free church. Now, obviously, there's no warrant for supposing that the church must be out of debt before the Lord returns. Indeed, Jesus can return at any moment, regardless of whether we have a mortgage or not. And besides that, the year 2005 is now a very distant memory. Perhaps the most ludicrous of all is Dollar's assertion that the King James translation of Psalm 8, verse 5, is the work of a gutless translator. Why? Because in Dollar's view, man is assumed to be a little god. In the King James Version, he is a little lower than the angels. And thus, if the translator had guts, he would have interpreted man to be a little lower than the Almighty, not a little lower than the angels. And to hear him cash this out is rather frightening, not merely because of his reckless interpretation of the text, but because if he is right, the Holy Spirit, who inspired the New Testament commentary on Psalm 8:5, would be wrong. Dare we say, gutless. Of course, the truth is, Hebrews 2:7 specifically employs the Greek word from which the English word angel is derived. Moreover, what Dollar dubs gutless is not unique to the King James Version of the Bible. Of course, a complete litany of Dollar's doctrinal deviations would comprise a book in itself, but he is one of those who are, well, part of what I call the austenification of American Christianity now being imported around the world. A lot of you hanging on. We'll go right to the phone calls. First up is Mike in Washington. Hi, Mike.
Hello. Why is the church gone asleep and not preaching the gospel the way it should be preached and allowing churches to turn into social clubs? And what I mean by that is allowing Halloween or Christmas or St. Valentine's Day to be added to the church and allowing rock music to be played during these parties?
Well, I think you have sort of a confabulation of things. On the one hand, I think that it is a horrible thing that the gospel is not being preached in many churches. You're absolutely right. You have liberal churches, for example, who have demythologized the Bible. In other words, they've taken the supernatural out of the Bible. No incarnation, no resurrection. These are nice stories, but they don't have any place in a real world. So they say, at least. The teaching of hell has virtually disappeared in the church as well. People prefer a kinder, gentler kind of gospel, one that does not have a hell to shun. Of course, if you think about it, the very notion is absurd in and of itself, because without choice, love would be rendered meaningless. And if, in fact, there is no choice, the wrongs of Hitler's Holocaust would never be righted. Justice would be impugned if, after slaughtering 6 million Jews, Hitler merely died in the arms of his mistress with no eternal consequences. Obviously, ancients knew better than to think such a thing. Common sense dictates that without a hell, there's no need for a savior. I don't think a whole lot needs to be said about the absurdity of suggesting that the Creator should suffer more than the cumulative sufferings of all of humankind if there were no hell to save us from. Without hell, there's no need for salvation. Without salvation, there is no need for sacrifice. Without sacrifice, there's no need for a Savior. And as much as we may wish to think that all will be saved, common sense precludes the possibility. But let me say, when I was suggesting that what you are doing is presenting a bit of a confabulation, some of the things you're saying, I think, are serious consequences of the deprivation of a true gospel message. However, I think that it would be remiss for anyone to suggest that we cannot celebrate some of the great holidays that we have been given to celebrate. For example, if you can't celebrate Easter, pray tell, what can you celebrate? What you're celebrating is what we celebrate every single Lord's Day. And that is the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And in the celebrations that we are given, there's a whole buildup where we remember the very things that are foundational the historic Christian faith, and perhaps the fact that we no longer have any kind of a church calendar is emblematic of why we don't recognize the significance of celebrations like Easter. I mean, during Easter, Christians celebrate the Great Lent, 40 days on which His glorious resurrection is remembered. during which there's a rekindled devotion to the principles of the kingdom, including prayer and fasting and almsgiving and repentance, leading to forgiveness and recommitment to loving the Lord our God with all our heart and mind and loving our neighbor as ourself. All of that is preparation for the feast of Christ's resurrection, which in turn is emblematic of our being raised with him in newness of life on the day of his second appearing. So I think these kinds of celebrations can be very, very worthwhile. I don't think it should be denounced. There's a big difference between someone celebrating Easter and all the passion that goes with it and those who deny the doctrine of hell. We'll be back in just a few moments with more answers to your questions.
Christian unity is not optional. Francis Chan writes, "The world currently hates Christians, often not because we resemble Jesus, but because we don't. We are arrogant, and there is a serious disconnect between our beliefs and actions. Scripture teaches us that our influence on the world is directly tied to the unity we display. Francis Chan wrote Until Unity because Christian unity is not optional. May God inspire spirit-filled people from all denominations to fight for unity in Christ around the essentials with humility, gentleness, and love. To receive your copy of Until Unity by Francis Chan, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org. Stay with us. Hank Hanegraaff will be back with more right after this. Anyone who's been paying attention knows there's a war going on, not just on traditional morality, civility, and decency, but even more fundamentally on historic notions of truth. And the enemy isn't just the onslaught of fake news facilitated by a post-truth culture and turbocharged by growing legions of ideological spin doctors. No, the real enemies of truth range from postmodernist convictions that there is no objective truth to militant scientism that claims that only science can determine truth, and religion is little more than primitive superstitions. But CRI support team members are not waving a white flag of surrender. They're holding the fort by undergirding every one of Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping and life-changing outreaches 24/7. To learn how you can make a difference and enjoy all the benefits of support team membership, simply visit equip.org.
Our Lord prayed that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved them even as you loved me. Christian unity is not optional. To receive your copy of Until Unity by Francis Chan, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org. That's equip.org.
With over 500,000 copies in print, Hank Hanegraaff's Bible Answer books were born out of his many years of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. He's taken his on-air answers to questions and chiseled them until only the gems emerge. Questions involving biblical interpretation, cults, science, ethics, apparent contradictions, and much more. This remarkable collection of concise answers is now even better. My goal, says Hank, is to take the complex and make it simple and memorable. Receive your copy of the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. That's equip.org.
Every Bible Answer Man broadcast, such as the one you're listening to right now, is made possible through the financial support of friends like you. Each month, we depend entirely on God's provision through His people to bring you more of the broadcast, podcast, and other resources you rely on. If you want a sound proclamation and defense of the gospel of Jesus Christ to continue to be heard through the outreaches of the Christian Research Institute, become a member of CRI's support team today. Call 888-7000-CRI and stand with CRI daily in the battle for life and truth. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit our website at equip.org. Once again, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
And thank you very much, Randy. Right back to our callers. Next up is Jeffrey, listening in Raleigh, North Carolina. Hi, Jeffrey.
How are you, Hank?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Well, that's great. I have a question for you about the book 90 Minutes in Heaven by author Don Piper. Can you give me a biblical evaluation of that book, if you're familiar with it?
Well, I am familiar with it, and I wrote about it in my book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences. But he is the co-author of, as you mentioned, 90 Minutes in Heaven. And he says he died on January 18th, 1989. And then immediately after I died, I went straight to heaven. Now, if he is to be believed, he is singularly unique in human history. There are a handful of resurrections recorded in the Bible, but none apart from Christ himself were permitted to record their experience in the text of sacred scripture. And this is so even respecting the Apostle Paul, who was the author of two-thirds of the New Testament epistles. He did, in fact, go to the third heaven, but he did not so much as countenance writing a 67th book of the Bible titled 90 Minutes in Heaven. But he was humble. He refrained from boasting. "So no one will think more of me," he said, "than is warranted." He also said to keep me from becoming conceited because of these surpassingly great revelations. But here's the contrast. Pastor Piper is more than willing to relate his great experiences in person and print, and seems so convinced that he had an actual death experience, not a near-death experience, that he prophesied to a global Christian television audience that because he had already died, and people die only once, Jesus was going to return within his very own lifetime. And even apart from date setting, what is disturbing about Pastor Piper's testimony is the boast that he has been empowered to speak authoritatively about heaven from firsthand knowledge. And this, of course, is no small thing, because prior to Piper, only the resurrected Savior had been able to do that. You think of the biblical writers who spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Not one dared say that he, like his Lord, had been resurrected from the dead and could speak authoritatively about heaven from firsthand knowledge. And nor did one of them dare prophesy the century of Christ's return. So I'm very obviously exercised that this book has become such a blowout bestseller and movie, and Christians are gobbling this stuff up. It's simply, in my perspective, a sign of the lack of discernment within the body of Christ. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Katie in Missouri. Hi, Katie.
Oh, hi there. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
First I want to say that I believe that the Bible is a God-inspired word. It is the living word, and people really shouldn't go editing out angels and this and that. That stuff kind of gets me a little hot under the collar. But anyway, I have one question, though, about Mark 10:25. As one possible word in the whole book that might have been misinterpreted. My sister is studying for a mission trip and is studying Arabic and Aramaic and ancient languages and whatnot. And she said that where the camel passes through the eye of a needle, there in the word for camel, there is just a little thin hairline wisp between camel and the lead rope for a camel. And we were discussing, you know, well, since Mark was referenced by a lot of the later writers, perhaps the scribe did make that mistake and not make pronounced enough that little lisp. And it so happened as we were visiting, she has the TV left on the Christian channel, and there comes Creflo Dollar on the TV, and he's going on about some hole in the wall. I don't know if it was the Jerusalem wall or some other ancient city, but there was some small entrance into this wall that they called the Eye of a Needle. And if a camel crouched down and the man crouched down, that they could actually squeeze through. And I think what Jesus really meant was, if you look at the lead rope of a camel or the camel itself, humps and all, you know, it's impossible for a rich man to get through heaven. You know, and here it just, oh, it gets my dander up to hear people like Mr. Dollar. I cannot call him pastor. But to hear him trying to squeeze out some excuse that somehow, yes, you can be rich and he can be rich and still thinks that he's going to be, you know, waltz right into heaven.
Yeah, and a very good point that you're making. I mean, this is a very consistent pattern among the faith teachers. They actually look at this passage and they want to take the weight out of the passage, and they do it in precisely the way that you have just pointed out. They make light of those who use Christ's words as a corrective to this prosperity theology. And so they refer readers to this great archaeological discovery of a needle gate that's 5 feet from the main gate leading into Jerusalem. And after midnight, they contend that camel riders were resigned to squeezing their camels through the needle gate into the city. Of course, what they don't tell devotees is that this gate did not even exist in Jesus' day. In point of fact, it did not come into existence until the medieval period of history. So this is simple nonsense. And again, you are absolutely right. It's nonsense that is constructed in order to take the weight out of the words of our Savior. The words of our Savior are very, very clear. They're trying to distort the teachings of Jesus Christ. And so not only saying that Jesus Christ was not God, he came as a man, but then distorting his teaching as well. And they do it consistently, and it's tragic, quite frankly.
Well, do you think there is anything to what my sister was saying, that Mark, you know, was referred to by later scribes? She was telling me that was one of the first Gospels written. And could that have been a scribe's mistake? I mean, like I say, the point is moot. The fact that rich man getting into heaven, I pretty much take as impossible. But do you know what she was talking about there?
Well, I don't think that this is a gloss or a scribal error. It's simply the words of Jesus Christ, consistently and clear. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. In fact, Jesus is pointing out in the Sermon on the Mount that it's impossible for anyone to get into the kingdom of heaven unless they're perfect. And of course, the disciples and the followers of Christ are scratching their heads thinking, how then can anyone be saved? And the response from Christ is, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Which is to say, it is only through the righteousness of Jesus Christ that we can be redeemed. So if we stand in the filthy robes of our own self-righteousness, we have no chance whatsoever for eternity. But if we are dressed in the sparkling white robes of the righteousness of Jesus Christ, then we are saved not by our own righteousness, but by a foreign righteousness, not of our own, that comes through faith in Jesus Christ alone.
Yeah, the riches in heaven instead of here on earth. That's what I thought. I just don't know. We are surely in the end times with people like Creflo Dollar and others, that Piper that you're talking about. We were warned they would be coming.
Well, we don't know when Christ is coming back. We have not a clue as to when he's coming back. What we do know is that Jesus said that he will appear a second time. And when he does, he will put all things to right. But look, there have always been false prophets. Anyone who denies that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is a false messiah. In fact, John calls such a person or such an institution antichrist, against Christ. And so there have been false prophets throughout history, and that is why it is so important that we study to show ourselves approved workmen who need not blush with embarrassment, rightly discerning the word of truth. We are unfortunately out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Do remember you can stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth on the web in a safe, secure fashion at equip.org. Look forward to seeing you with more of the show next week.
Thanks for tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Our website, equip.org, has an abundance of resources to sharpen your discernment skills and help you grow in life and truth. We provide books, videos, and informative articles. You can also listen to the broadcast live, download archived programs, get answers to pressing Bible questions, follow our blog, or connect with us via social media. All this and more at equip.org. Again, the address is equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter.
Our Lord prayed that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved them even as you loved me. Christian unity is not optional. To receive your copy of Until Unity by Francis Chan, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org. That's equip.org.